Crosstalk Radio is sponsored in part by Love Work Recording Studios. Whether you need recording or mixing and mastering services, Love Work is all about quality and customer service. Check them out at theloveworkstudios.com or give them a call at 678-953-2170.
Hey, this is Erica Combo, and you're listening to Crosstalk Radio with Big Pudge and Steph Swig, where the talk is real and raw.
Talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephant in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
Crosstalk Radio.
Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to another land. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to another land. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to another land. We got fans from Japan, know it to the nether.
We coming through like it's season two. Hit you with the crosstalk, yeah, you know how we do. Changing the world one show at a time. We the salt of the earth, bringing light to your mind. Universal conversations. We appreciate the love we got back from every nation. Really, it's an honor that y'all listen to us. Cause Big Pudge and Steph Swig will give it to you. Transparency, spiritually, life lessons and politics, the ultimate greed. What I'm saying ain't no boundaries. When we at this table, bringing awareness to the things we see. So rest yourself and enjoy the show. You're guaranteed to be intrigued by this Crosstalk Radio.
Oh, oh. We got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. Yeah, we got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands. We got fans from Japan all the way to the Netherlands.
Crosstalk Radio, this is your man Steph Swig.
And this is your man Big Pudge.
Thank you. We appreciate it all day. We
yes,
appreciate
we
love.
Do. Yes, we do.
Yo, so of course we got another great show for you. I hope y'all had a great Thanksgiving. Hope y'all enjoyed our last shows. Let's promise we are back with a whole new episode, everybody. Sometimes we got to take off because we got family and stuff we got to take care
of. You know,
holidays came, kids.
Happy Thanksgiving,
right?
Everybody.
Yes,
you know, Thanksgiving
yes.
just passed. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope it was lovely for you.
Mine was, man.
Mine was, too.
I just ate the last bit of leftover turkey last night, so we are in a good place.
Man, me and my we took care of ours, boy, like the second day. You know what I'm saying? It got ghost real quick.
Well, we cooked two turkeys. That's what took us a little bit longer.
That was nice.
Yeah. Well, you deep fried turkey, man. They go quick, so we started doing two every time now. Anyway, so man, I had a great Thanksgiving. Either way, we got a great show lined up for you. This is something I sent Pudge a while back, and he thought it would be a great topic to build an episode on. So, Pudge, you want to intro the show? You want me to go ahead and play the video?
All right, we're going to intro it just to give you a little... At first, I saw something online, and I hit a step up, and it was, talking about banning the Bible in California. So, and I was like, I just sent him the link. Was like, yo, like, check this out. You know what I'm saying? And he sent, me something, and it was very, very interesting. He was like, what you think about this? And I was like, yeah, this need to be a whole topic, So I don't want to say who it is. I'll let you introduce that.
Okay, so what we have here is former President Obama. This is before he's president, in 2006, just explaining his stance on the Bible. And, I sent the video to Pudge, and, the rest is history. So we just thought it'd be interesting to play it to you all. And we'll talk about it after.
Right.
So here we go. This is President Obama before he was president in 2006.
And moreover, given the increasing diversity of America's populations, the dangers of sectarianism are greater than ever. Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation, at least not just. We are also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, and a Buddhist nation, and a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers. And even if we did have only Christians in our midst, if we expelled every non-Christian from the United States of America, whose Christianity would we teach in the schools? Would it be James Dobson's or Al Sharpton's? Which passages of Scripture should guide our public policy? Should we go with Leviticus, which suggests slavery is okay, and that eating shellfish is an abomination? Or we could go with Deuteronomy, which suggests stoning your child if he strays from the faith? Or should we just stick to the Sermon on the Mount, a passage that is so radical that it's doubtful that our own Defense Department would survive its application? So before we get carried away, let's read our Bibles now. Folks haven't been reading their Bible. Democracy demands that the religiously motivated translate their concerns into universal rather than religion-specific values. What do I mean by this? It requires that their proposals be subject to argument and amenable to reason. Now, I may be opposed to abortion for religious reasons, to take one example, but if I seek to pass a law banning the practice, I can't simply point to the teachings of my church or evoke God's will. I have to explain why abortion violates some principle that is accessible to people of all faiths, including those with no faith at all. Now, this is going to be difficult for some who believe in the inerrancy of the Bible, as many evangelicals do. But in a pluralistic society, we have no choice. Politics depends on our ability to persuade each other of common aims based on a common reality. It involves compromise, the art of what's possible. And at some fundamental level, religion doesn't allow for compromise. It's the art of the impossible. If God's spoken, then followers are expected to live up to God's edicts, regardless of the consequences. Now, to base one's own life on such uncompromising commitments may be sublime, but to base our policy making on such commitments would be a dangerous thing. And if you doubt that, let me just give you an example. We all know the story of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham's ordered by God to offer up his only son. Without argument, he takes Isaac up to the mountaintop, he binds them to the altar, raises his knife, prepares to act as God commanded. Now, we know things worked out. You know, God sends down angel to intercede at the very last minute. Abraham passes God's test of devotion. But it's fair to say that if any of us leaving this church saw Abraham on the roof of a building raising his knife, we would at the very least call the police and expect the Department of Children and Family Services to take Isaac away from Abraham. No matter how religious they may be or may not be, people are tired of seeing faith used as a tool of attack.
What you got, buddy?
I would say very, 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 very interesting.
Okay.
I would have to agree with the bulk of everything he said, simply because if you look back at history, we've tried to run certain parts of the world strictly on religion.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm specifically talking about the Crusade era, where Martin Luther had this vision of the cross, and that's where the cross came from, and he converted himself, you know, to Christianity or then. And then, but back then, during the Crusade era, is where people was like, either you accept.
You mean Constantine?
Martin Luther, Constantine. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Constantine.
I'm sorry.
You said Martin Luther. It's Constantine.
Constantine. I'm sorry.
Listening. Go ahead.
Appreciate that correction too.
Not a problem.
It's it's either give your life to Christ or die.
Yeah.
Give your life to Christ, or in fact be crucified like they crucified him.
Mm-hmm.
So Yeah, that didn't work out too well with other religions that were already here, you know, before Christianity.
Yeah.
You know, so I definitely agree with that. I agree that people can take the word of God and finagle it to enslave people. And then use it for things that are not good.
Okay.
So I would like that. His whole concept was like, we have so many different religions in this nation,
mm-hmm.
and how can you say that the whole nation needs to be ran under one specific book or one specific religion?
Okay.
You know, so I agree with that.
Excuse me.
I agree with that worldwide, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So everything he was saying, I could actually verbally go against it if I choose, but that's not how I feel.
Okay.
So what's your take on it?
I got a lot of different takes. I agree with some of it, maybe a lot of it. Mm-hmm. I agree, you know, where he's coming from, because he's speaking from a standpoint of a politician,
right,
addressing the country of a diverse country of people,
right,
different religions to non-religion to whatever, okay, and I agree with that sentiment. You know, if you're gonna say even that is your basis on religion, well, I don't like saying religion, but in this case, the topic is for religion. For me, right. it'd be spiritual, but in this topic, like even when it comes to abortion. You can't go in there and say, because God said it's wrong, and expect it to move forward in a political ballot, even if that is your reason.
Right.
And so I agree with a lot of that, but I also disagree to an extent of, it's kind of what I mean is, like, I do believe biblical principles are transferable to secular arenas.
Oh, me too.
Okay. I just think it's a way to do it.
There you go. You got to be strategic in how you do it.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'll give you an example. Chick-fil-A. Their whole policy. This store is a Christian-based store. Mm-hmm. You don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But the service is a principle. It's based off the scripture where it says, go the extra mile. Go,
right. You know,
when Jesus says, it's a scripture that says, turn the other cheek. And it goes, if someone asks you go a mile, then go two.
Right.
And that's why they go the extra mile with their service, based on that one scripture. Okay, so it can be done, but you can't if your stance is a religious standpoint, you can't go in an arena and say that, even if it's a principle. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, for me, you know, I do believe in tithe, and I do believe in you give and you receive from a spiritual level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in order to talk to some people and even convince them to do so, not to trick them.
Mm-hmm.
I might use the word karma, or I might say, hey, if you want to get back, you have to put out, you know, something like that.
Right.
But it's still based on the scriptural principle of giving and receiving.
Okay.
Same thing with forgiveness. You don't have to say, well, Jesus said forgive. You can say, hey, man, it's easy to forgive people. Let it go.
Right.
You know, so you can still use the principles. And I didn't feel like he was wrong in saying what he's saying. I just felt like some of his scriptures he used was to further
Support, because I did say to myself, okay, he's using all Old Testament scriptures.
Yeah.
You know, New Testament saints, we don't even go by those laws mm-hmm. anymore. So
yeah.
I can get how you pulled out one of the worst books where you were.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I get that point.
Yeah, so that kind of bothered me a little bit, but whatever.
It's politics, yeah. And that's what he was shooting for.
But as a believer, as a kingdom citizen, I just think this... See, me, I believe in God created everybody. I could, you know, believe wholeheartedly he created the heavens and the earth and everybody in it. I don't believe in religion as a sense of saying these are the rules you have to follow. I believe that, or because I'm this is my belief system. I'm Muslim, so this is my belief. So I believe when God created the world, he didn't create religion. So mm-hmm. I think the standards he sets for what we call Christians is, and the principles he set in motion are for everybody.
Right. Right.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The forgiveness, the turn the other cheek, the love thy neighbor, do all mm-hmm. this stuff. I think it's for everybody. So in that sense, you know, and you know, I do believe Jesus is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So I still feel like his rule should exceed the government standpoint and political standpoints.
Right.
But you still have to be tactful.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, if God is telling you this is what it takes to run this planet, not just a country, I still think that would exceed it, but you still have to know how to go about it. But I also believe, as a believer, if you're blessed or placed in a position of authority and influence, especially something as a presidential arena, then you have a responsibility. That's your window to extend the kingdom rule here on this planet. Hands down. When I say that's kingdom, good. I'm talking about kingdom influence.
Right, right.
You know, not to force it, but if I know God is telling me that abortion is wrong, then I'm going to fight to ban abortion.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, I might not say that when I'm on the podium, but I will, you know, I will have to, and I will trust that the Holy Spirit will lead me in ways to navigate it, to word it in a way where believers, non-believers can see the other part of it. Like, yo, that's murder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because it's talked about in the Bible doesn't mean that murder isn't wrong.
Right.
You know, you murdered unborn fetuses because it's inconvenient for you, but yet you're still in here voting on people's rights. Dang. You know what I'm saying? So y'all, obviously y'all know what my stance is on abortion.
But, yeah. I was, especially the way he just broke it down. Yeah,
but that's how I feel about it. You know, I don't see any way around it.
Yeah.
You know, there's other, you know, of course, there's always a gray area. If she was raped, what about this? Is that God's will? What if this baby's going to be deformed? What's going to kill him? I get all of that.
Right.
But when it comes down to just stuff that you know is a biblical principle and you're a kingdom citizen, you're supposed to represent that.
Right.
And if God has placed you in a position of authority, you have authority.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, speak on that. Yo, this is not where we're going in this country. Right. This is not what we're doing. It takes someone with boldness. You don't have to say the Bible said, and, you know, you don't have to go to church and go by what your pastor is saying. But if you are in a place of position or a place of authority, God bless you with that. You're a believer. You got it. You're not just there to reap the benefits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's just a lot of things I can say. You know, if God put it on my heart, which he has, to be a person who saves the planet through recycling and going green. If I'm a supervisor at a job, then I'm going to have recycling containers come in. I'm not going to tell everybody God put it on my heart. Right. I make sure that, yo, we're going to recycle. That's how we do it here. Right. You know, with the level of influence that we have, we all have a level of influence, so you have to use that but to extend the kingdom here on this planet.
Right.
So I feel like politicians are not. Like, these are still great causes. Like, you know, you got politicians that want to go green. You got politicians who want to deal with, be done with this. And then some of them get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on their belief system, whether it be a spiritual or non-spiritual belief system. But it's still a belief system, and they're using their platform to influence their beliefs, funneling their beliefs right from where they're coming from to the masses.
Right.
And so I feel like, I do think the Bible is very compatible if used correctly with any organization, not just churches, not just Chick-fil-A, my life, my work life, everything. Simple principles, even just loving our neighbors and stuff, how far does that go to your job?
That's true.
You know, how far? That's true. You know, glorifying God, it says work as unto God, as work as unto God, right? So when you do work at your job, maybe instead of trying to make your boss happy, work as a way that brings God glory.
Right.
And then you're going to automatically shine higher. So you see what I'm saying? So it's applicable across the board.
Right.
And I look at it as a manual for life. So if it's a manual for life, it applies to every single arena. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to being a doctor, of course, you need more than just, you know, turning the other cheek and stuff like that. But it's like,
right,
you understand the principle. What I'm saying is, Pudge, it's core principles. I'm not telling people what to eat and what not to eat.
Right. Right.
You know, I'm not telling them they can't eat shellfish or not. That's what God said about that in that particular time.
Right.
But I will talk about forgiveness. I will talk about healing. I will talk about this. But you still have to understand where you are in the arena that you are in to speak the language of people who you're talking to, right. Simply.
You got to know their language and even at least understand where they're coming from so that you can even... You got to be on their... To even get on their level, you got to understand where they're coming from. You know, so you got to listen. If you haven't had that experience, you got to listen more intently than listening if you did go through the actual experience.
And while we're on this topic, you know, a lot of things were done in the name of religion that was wrong. The very thing that Constantine contradicts Christianity, the same Christianity that he's trying to force on people. Because for one, you can't force Christianity. The Bible says you have to choose.
Right.
So if it's forced, convert or die, it's not a Christian principle. Despite so-called Christians doing it, it still contradicts the God that they're serving, supposedly serving.
Right. That would be you still having kind of like the spirit of the Crusade era.
Yeah.
You know, because it wasn't like Christianity wasn't based off love, you know, and just happiness, peace. It was based off of fear.
Yeah.
and putting fear in, you know, in people to actually do what, you know, the word of God says itself. And see, it's tricky because... you know, when I was growing up, when I was, well, not when I was in like elementary school, Well, you know, right? I mean, I think I was going to elementary school right towards the end where they were phasing the Bibles out of school.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, you would read the Bible in school.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I wish I did remember that.
Man, my elementary school in Jersey, yeah, man, like, you know, after saying, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance and all of that stuff, you know what I'm saying, somebody get up and they'll read a certain scripture, you know what I'm saying, like, every day.
That's dope to me.
Yeah, you know, so it was, and that was a reason why, you know, the Bible was put into schools. It was to keep structure. Well, school is already structured. To me, it was to keep people on a mindset of being cognizant of your integrity, being cognizant of what it is you're supposed to be doing that's right and what you're supposed to be doing that's wrong. I mean, what you're not supposed to be doing that's wrong.
Okay. I want to piggyback a little bit off of that.
Okay.
You know, yeah, I'm a Christian by definition, I guess, but, you know, I don't think that just because the information comes out of a different book other than the Christian Bible that it's not viable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can still benefit from Muslim teachings. You can still benefit from Buddhist teachings and Hindu teachings.
Right.
You can still benefit from it. So even if that's the case, I don't think you should shun it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, because I know people talk about, well, oh, they took the Bibles out of school and because they forced religion on you. But if you look at the principle is not a religion. Now, I can say if they read a scripture in the Bible saying, hey, this is our God, you need to believe in our God, you know, that kind of thing, that's forcing it.
Right.
But when they talk about things like forgiveness and principles and by doing this, this happens. Those are principles.
Right.
It's no more than reading any other book, you know, that has principles. Or just a book of Proverbs. Not the book of Proverbs, but just an ancient book of Proverbs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
These are just all principles. You know, but I wanted to kind of back up a little bit to... But oh, no, I want to back up, then I want to go forward. So I'm going to back up to the Constantine thing. I just want to say that just because religion was done in the name of God, I want people to understand that's not God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think God is inside of religion, but God is not religion itself.
That's man-made.
Yeah, it's man-made.
That's man-made.
Okay, so just because religion says so, just because something was done in the name of God, doesn't mean God ordained or ordered it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's like if Pudge Kid did something, and they said, well, Dad told me to do it. Or Dad told me to do it, and Pudge's like, I ain't told you to do that. It's not on Pudge.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? It's the same thing with God. God gets blamed for so much stuff that was done in his name but not done by his order.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
So that's that. What you're saying.
So when it comes to prayer in schools, prayer is not a religious move. It's not a religious thing. Other time it becomes a religious thing is when you're praying to certain gods. Okay, but prayer itself, on the spiritual side of things, prayer is a spiritual activity to bring about change to a situation.
Mm-hmm.
All right? On the mental level, on the studies will show that prayer is therapeutic. Also, they say prayer breeds change in the person because they say when people are praying, it means that they want to see something change for the positive. So even on a strictly philosophical level, prayer in itself is healthy.
Okay.
Even if you're just praying to whatever God you don't even know,
mm-hmm.
when you're praying on the mental level, they say it changed the atmosphere in the school because when people are praying, they want things to change.
Right.
So you want people who want things to change in school.
Right.
But again, it's still a thin line because when you pray in schools, although they took it out, when someone get killed, them kids, you ain't stopping them kids from praying.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying pray for the schools, pray for the victims, pray for the kids. But prayer itself is not a religious activity. Every time people bring God in a situation, people who don't believe in God, I guess they look at it as a religious thing. But some things are universal.
Some people get the word religious mixed up.
Yeah.
Like they don't need to, and I guess it's because the word religious or religion is tied to a belief.
Yeah.
You know, so people just don't, that's why I love to use if you get up every day at the same time and jog every single day, that is your religion. That is you're religious to doing that. Yeah. You know,
consistency. That's all it means.
Right, right, right.
But, you know, so when it comes to that stuff, some things are just a spiritual practice. Spiritual practice.
Mm-hmm.
Has nothing to do with any particular religion, whatever. Every religion I know does pray. Mm-hmm. But when you pray, it's not a religious practice. It's a difference between a religious practice and a spiritual practice.
Yes.
You know, so I just want people to understand that. So it's okay to pray. It's okay.
Right.
You know, just because I pray, you pray, don't mean we pray to the same God. I think I would like to be that to be the case, but it don't always be the case.
Right.
But praying is a spiritual activity.
Right.
It has nothing to do with religion. You don't say, God, this is my Christianity prayer. You know, God is my Muslim prayer. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You pray to God. You're talking. You're bringing about spiritual change by opening your mouth and speaking these things. So anyway, that's my take. But when I just heard, you know, I just think about that with the religion part, and when you're talking about the Bibles and schools and stuff like that.
All right, so just to move to I saw a little article, and it was like, is California considering legislation that would ban the Bible? And then they had like a little.
We going to that today? I'm not mad for y'all, because I'm prepared. I got my notes.
We weren't doing that?
No, we was going to do the Obama one, but that's fine. No, we're good.
See, I thought, well, you know what? I thought the Bible, the Obama one was the same one.
Nah, the Obama.
It's talking about the same
that's
thing.
That's it. I'm down. Let's go.
Okay. Because I'm like, you know, I ain't got that much to say. I mean, you know, it's fine. Yeah. The good thing is, this is how we work. I sent him a video on the ban of the Bible. He sent me a video on Obama talking about the Bible, asked me how I feel. And then that's where we are.
All right. So here we go. We've talked about it, but that's fine. Like, the cool thing is, y'all just got sucked into having two shows and one show today. So we're making up for not having a fresh show for y'all last week. So here you go. We're making up for it. So anyway. Right. So get into the same question. I had a whole bunch of stuff I want to say about that.
Yeah, you can. Because all I'm doing, I'm just going to read. The California, the California bill, factcheck.org is where the articles I got. And it's a legislation that, they were talking about, and in this legislation, they would have to ban the Bible if they would have approved this legislation.
Okay.
So the California lawmakers have advanced a bill that would prohibit the advertising or selling of sexual orientation change efforts or so-called conversion therapies.
Okay.
Which many medical organizations oppose, including the American Psychiatric Association, the Pan American Health Association, organization, mm-hmm. and a regional office of the World Health Organization. They have not prospered banning the Bible, as numerous websites have inferred. The bill approved by the California State Assembly on April 19th, and now before the Senate, would amend the existing Consumer Legal Remedies Act. It comes nearly 6 years after California became the first state to ban mental health providers from practicing conversion therapies on minors. Wow, didn't know that.
I did.
If enacted, the legislation would add sexual orientation change efforts to a list of business practices considered illegal when undertaken in a transaction intended to result or that results in the sale or lease of goods or services to any consumer. Specifically, it would outlaw advertising offering to engage in or engaging in sexual orientation change efforts with an individual.
Okay.
Wow. So, I mean, okay. I'm over here shaking my head because I'm just like, the United States wants so much control over people's lives and their world. You know what I'm saying?
What?
Oh, sexual orientation change efforts are defined in the bill as practices that seek to change an individual's sexual orientation. This includes efforts to change behaviors or gender expressions or to eliminate or reduce sexual or romantic attractions or feelings toward individuals of the same sex.
Okay. I hear you. And my first response to the actual article, I was upset. And all kinds of scriptures to combat and support how I felt about it. And I, you know, because I'm hearing the Christian websites saying they're trying to ban the Bible in California, okay? And they got these news reports saying they're trying to ban the Bible in California.
Mm-hmm.
From what you read and from the bill I read, that doesn't seem to be exactly the case. It might be worded differently where they're trying to be a little slick to ban the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what it sounds like to me, based off what you read, they're trying to ban people from trying to, I don't know, do some kind of conversion therapy on sexual orientation. And personally, I don't think that would be right either.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the gray stuff coming, because they can't tell you, they're going to just try to ban the Bible. So I don't know if it's a ploy, the word is, you know, kind of weird, so you can't really get what they're trying to ban. Because, you know, the Bible speaks against it. So, you know, so I guess what I'm trying to say is the way it's worded, it doesn't bring clarity saying definitively that it is trying to ban the Bible. Now, conversion therapy, how far does that go? Does it go when you go to church service and they're trying to pray, you know, for healing and deliverance to come upon somebody that's dealing with homosexuality?
Yeah.
Is that where they're going with that? Because the Bible doesn't tell you how to convert people. It just tells you to pray and cast demons out. You know?
Right, right.
So I don't know if that corresponds with banning the Bible.
Right.
Okay. So I don't know. What do you think? You think this is a slick way to try to say they're trying to ban the Bible?
I think, yeah. Originally, yes. Originally, okay. It was after I got finished reading everything, and mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, because you can't read everything. You gotta research when you read stuff on social media. You know what I'm saying? And we hear things from word of mouth. The thing was, is I was hearing it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm talking about from all different kinds of sources. So, that's why I'm like, okay, you know, and I'm like, what I know about America is one state starts something, other state starts latching on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, that was my concern. Like, my concern, I mean, you know, a couple years back when I realized that certain people that are making Bibles now are purposely taking scriptures out, that was already a major concern.
Yeah.
Now it's like with the little bit that we do have, you're not even trying to allow them to be read in the whole state.
Yeah.
So that's what made me go look at it. But as it turns out, it looks like people just heard about, you know, the Bible is a history book to those who do not have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you do, it's still a history book with 1,000+ nuggets in it and a lot of revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So in that, there's stories. In that, there's stories of people having sex. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it does seem like you slick trying to ban a whole book that can save a lot of people because they have stories of sex in them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I was taking it.
Okay.
You know, that's why. But, I mean, after reading so many different articles of it saying that this is not true, I don't believe that anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I mean, like I say, if the bill was passed, but they saying only a portion of the Bible can be read, you know, in this state because these things, like, you can't, like, my thing is, if we're actually who I've never been anywhere where someone uses the Bible and wants to tell by the story of people having sex to prove a point.
Yeah.
To an open, like to a school or college or something like that. Now, you know, behind closed doors, whatever, you know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about something like that. So that was, I mean, you know, like I said, I didn't, and I was actually really happy to know that that wasn't happening.
Yeah.
Because that's even, I mean, you know, we as believers, our job is to bring people closer to the faith. So you think 15, 20 years from now, in the state of California, there's no Bibles.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what would those children be like 10, 15 years from now, mm-hmm. being raised in a city where you got to sneak to read the word now?
Yeah, you can't do it in public. You can't
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's almost like one of the movies, man.
Yeah. You know, I hear that, man, and I agree. I don't think it was a slick way to try. I mean, I could be completely wrong, but mm-hmm. based on the bill that I see and the way it's worded, it doesn't seem like they're trying to slick ban the Bible by any means to me.
Okay.
Now, knowing about California and knowing what's happening in California and what I'm seeing in TV and in movies worldwide,
mm-hmm.
it's not that far-fetched for me to believe exactly. that they're trying to ban the Bible.
Right.
And listen, y'all know where I'm at. Y'all know who I am. Y'all know what I believe. I believe in the Word of God. The Word mm-hmm. of God clearly says, I don't care what argument you have, it's not debatable for me. If you already know something, no need to argue. Homosexuality is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? According to the Bible. California, you know, they got, you know, I think they're one of the first to do the gay marriage thing. Which is, hey, that's California. Hey, whatever.
Right.
No, that's not me to judge. I'm just saying that's facts.
Right.
All
right,
but when it comes down to who makes the most movies, who controls what's on Netflix, who controls what's on TV, who controls... I'm seeing this stuff happen right before my eyes to promote it. It's not like it's a part of... It's not one of those things where it's being promoted as in... Not promoted, but it's not being presented as in just a normal... Like having a new black character in the movie or having diversity on screen. It's being forced down people's throats. You can argue... I'm not... No, gloves are off right now. It's being forced in our damn throats. I'm sorry.
It's being forced.
Okay. every superhero show on TV has a homosexual couple in it. Every show, 99% of it, you watch it. And they dedicate episodes to people coming out and they celebrate this. And most of the time, I see it, it's mostly a female couple. It's not even a gay dude. Some shows have gay dudes, but most of the shows I see, it's to the point now where I'm watching them and waiting, like, okay, where's the lesbian couple now? Because almost like they got a call.
You know it's coming.
Yeah.
You know it's coming.
Every show, Supergirl, Gotham. I heard Flash is going that direction. Arrow, Legends. I watched a show called Wynonna Earp. Her sister done
told.
Yeah,
you're stepping all in my shoes, sir. Because Wynonna Earp is what that was when as you talking, I just watched the episode of Wynonna Earp last night, and it totally went all through me because I'm like, I don't want to cut y'all. Go ahead.
You know what I'm saying?
Because my gloves off, so I'm swinging now.
We're both gonna swing. So Wynonna Earp does it. I'm watching a show called Golly.
Oh my gosh, you are so right.
The zombie show, Walking Dead, has it on there.
Okay.
You know, it's the end of the world, and it's like they got gay people. You know, I'm not saying
that they ain't gonna have gay people in the world.
Yeah, but it's the way it's doing it. I watched the Batman cartoon, and Commissioner Gordon's daughter was gay, and he said at the dinner table with her, like, "Yo, I thought you would have found a nice girlfriend by now." You know, Black Lightning, the dude's daughter in Black Lightning's got a girlfriend.
That pissed me off.
And I watched a show called Van Helsing. It's about,
I watched Van Helsing too.
Yeah, and then on one episode, it's like they toy with it, but they left it alone. Like, the girl, she's straight in the beginning of the show, middle of the show, she's straight. She had a best friend. At the end of the episode, she kissed the girl, and then the girl died.
Yeah.
So it's like they still try to toy with it no matter what happened.
Too. Yeah, we watch a lot of the same shows.
Yeah.
Man.
So it's like that's being forced down. It's not like they just had a gay couple here and there. You know, even if it's a representation of how the world is turning, it's being forced down to it. Because superheroes, why put that in the show?
Right, so here's my thing now, and I'm straight.
I'm going somewhere with this, y'all. Sorry. I'm gonna pull the scriptures out for y'all to support what I'm really saying. All right, Pudge, go.
Wynonna Earp, like in the TV show, the sister goes from a boyfriend to a girlfriend, and then she's looking like she don't know if she's really gay or not. So she's trying to figure out if she is.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, y'all. I ain't even tripping on the fact that now I'm gonna be all the way non-biased. I get that, you know, the society that we live in right now, there's a lot of gay people that's out there. I get that. I'm not judging you. I don't care if you are or if you're not. It's like Hollywood is now trying to make gay folks comfortable. And it's like with always having a gay couple in every single show that comes out. Now, here's my thing. I like the TV show Wynonna Earp.
I do too.
The part that I can't really stand is the fact that every time there's a kissing or a sex scene, it's always the two chicks.
Yeah.
Why is it always them two? Why are y'all focusing hard on? They do more kissing than anybody on the daggone show
combined.
They did the entire show, and I'm on. And I mean, I done watched all three seasons. You know what I'm saying? So I'm, and they do the most kissing now. Oh my God, Black Lightning pissed me off. And again, I get it. I do get it. Now this is the part that really disturbed me. On Wynonna Earp. So season 3, now the little professor dude is gay. Never knew he was gay. So he just didn't. So just by coincidence, another gay dude shows up in town.
Man, I'm only on season 2. I was hoping he would hook up with somebody else.
Man,
but okay,
nope.
Okay, either way, he's gay. Okay.
Yeah, he's gay. So
it makes
sense. So it's even more disturbing because it is. Step, you are 1,000% right. We watch the same shows, and I'm like, why? Like, I get it. You know, there's what it seems like. What these movie directors are trying to say is there's at least one gay person in every family.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no such thing as a full heterosexual family anymore,
that's
which is a full blown lie.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's just the fact that I'm not going to assume that all the directors are gay and they just want to make sure that their people are put inside the TV shows and movies. And they the ones making all the movies, and that's the reason why we see so many gay folks in TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, it's being shoved down our throat. So, you know what I'm saying? So, and you can get upset all day long But if I'm tired of it and I speak out on it, then you just have to respect that.
Yeah.
Because my thing is, I was born straight. And that's what God say we supposed to be. So if I'm never criticizing your sexuality, I'm never coming at you about you being gay is wrong or nothing like that. The one time I speak on how I feel about it, respect that.
Simple.
Because my thing is, you got to understand, although why you're feeling like y'all are being ostracized and all that other stuff, the people who love y'all and don't have any issues with y'all, we're dealing with it. Like, we're dealing with the fact that our society is becoming more of a non-straight society.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, we got to keep our feelings to ourselves because y'all always sensitive. Y'all feelings are always on y'all damn sleeves because being gay has been something that's been ridiculed and talked about since the beginning of the time, really.
Yeah.
You know, when actuality, being gay has been the soil, the seed in this earth along with heterosexual. So it's been in the soil since the beginning. So if people could just kind of like stop being homophobic and just like understand that these people ain't no different from us, you know, saying the world. I mean, I get why, you know, why they're so overprotective of, you know, who they are because of the way the world. I mean, there's still people getting hanged and burned for being gay. You know,
yeah,
the places.
I don't agree with that. Condone
yeah,
any of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
right.
Any means.
Right.
No.
It still don't give the right for people to still shove what you are down my face when I turn on my TV screen.
Every show. Every
yeah,
show.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Every show, man. And it's starting to seep into the movies, too, now, lately.
But every show. I thought they was deep off in the movies already.
I thought so, too, but I'm starting to see a little bit more in the movies, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dang, man, really? Every single show. It's like, every show is like, it might start out sometime, okay, and after a while, they turn gay. They turn gay. It's not like they've been gay the whole time. They just turn gay.
They just turn gay.
Yeah, like, you know, like you said, why don't she had her sister had a boyfriend. She was fine. The boyfriend sucked, but they were fine.
Right.
And she was fine with that.
Right.
Okay, on Arrow. Arrow was sleeping with this girl, and she was all into him. And then she fell in love with his ex-girlfriend.
And went to another show and found her girlfriend.
Yeah. And then Natalia, that's Ra's al Ghul's daughter. I'm getting into the comic talk now. That's Ra's al Ghul's daughter.
Right.
She's not gay in the comics, but she's gay on the show.
Right.
Like, anyway, moving on. So here's the scripture I want to read to support that. And like I said, if you don't agree, that's fine. But if you listen. If you watch shows that was on 12 years ago, you don't see it on the shows at all.
Mm-hmm.
At all. Mm-hmm. In a very, very low percentage. If there was a gay character on the shows, there was like a guest appearance. It was like a consistently gay show. Unless she was on like Will or Grace or a show called 6 Feet Under. That was it.
Right.
All right. So here's a scripture I want to use for that. And 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 3. Okay. Well, actually, I just want to go with verse 3. I'm sorry. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. This phone call right in the middle. All right. So that's what I see happening. People turn away from sound doctrine. And I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're wrapping it up, guys, but we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to get this out of here. Is on here, Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When you look up principalities, it's talking about the situation right now. Can you look up principalities real quick, Pudge?
The definition of principalities?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the Bible said we war against not flesh and blood, but principalities and authority and wickedness in high places. And then I bring it on home.
Your phone just having a field day, ain't it?
Mm-hmm. I can't put it in airplane mode when I'm trying to do look up certain things, man. So anyway, you got me?
Definition of principality.
Yeah.
A state ruled by a prince. A traditional Christian agnology, the fifth highest order of a nine-fold celestial hierarchy.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
That's all I see.
That's all you got on there?
Yeah, that's all I got. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's not what I was looking for.
All right. But, hold on. Let me see if they got more.
mean, social hierarchy, I'm fine with that. That's talking about angelic.
The position of authority of a prince, chief, ruler, sovereignty, supreme power. The rule of a prince of a small or subordinate state. A state ruled by a prince. Those are prince usually a relatively small state or a state that falls within a larger state, such as an empire.
Okay.
Was that what you're looking for?
No, I was looking for the more of a spirit, the more spiritual part behind it.
Principalities and order of angels.
Yeah, yeah, we can go with that one.
Wow, what is this word?
Because it says
supramadan powers often in conflict with God.
There we go.
And that's Ephesians 6:12.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, that's what you're looking for.
Yeah,
because
that's the principle I'm talking about. Principalities in high places, and I have high places, and principalities in high places. And I have offices and places of authority and places of influence, okay?
Okay, okay.
So understand what I'm trying to say here. When you have, and he's talking about the authorities against God right there, basically what he's saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying, okay. Okay, so we know homosexuality is against God. But these people who are making the rules, making the movements, making these movies, making these shows, they are running Hollywood right now. Those are the principalities in high places I'm referring to.
Mm-hmm.
The government, when they are voting for gay marriage to be accepted in all 50 states, those are rulers and authorities who play people who have power to make these things. These people, I'm not saying they're possessed by demonic forces. I'm saying they're being influenced by demonic forces. There's a difference,
mm-hmm.
whether they realize it or not. But if you think about the rules that have been made or the laws that have been made for like the gay marriage thing that happened in 2015, when that happened, that's when all the shows and stuff began to change on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's all tied in. Whether you agree, whether you not. I used to look at people who say this kind of stuff like crazy, but I'm able to see it now that I'm older and I've studied more and I have a more in-depth relationship with God. I'm not judging. I'm warning and putting this information out there for you to decipher for your own self.
Right.
That's all I can do.
Right.
But these principalities in high places, these are people who have influence in high places to make these changes, to make these rules, to make this influence. If these networks were ran, if Hollywood executives were all Christian, you wouldn't have these things. You would have Christian-based movies. And I'm not saying that would be the all right thing to do. I'm just saying what you believe, if you're in the power of influence, it flows out of you. If you're passionate about, I don't know, women's rights, and you have these authority, you're going to make movies that support women's rights.
Right, right.
So if you're homosexual or you're trying to present this as something that's right, this is what you heavily believe in, you're going to present that in every form that you can to present that type of image, to make it normal, to make it acceptable, to make it more cool, more hip, and that's what they're doing. But again, superheroes are already cool. When you really think about it, you don't need that. But what other, what better vehicle? You get what I'm saying? This is stuff people look up to. This is things people look up to. In principalities, in Antichrist, demonic forces, demonic influences, their job is to destroy what God is already building or take his ideals and pervert them.
Mm-hmm.
If God's ideals say man and woman equal child, they're going to pervert the heck out of that and say it's okay, it's great to be gay. Directly corrupting, contradicting God's way of doing things. If you are gay, I still love you. I have no problems with you.
Mm-hmm.
No different than any other person who's doing something I think is outside the will of God or that is outside the will of God. No different than me doing that. So I have no hell to put you in. I can't judge you.
Right.
But when God establishes something, that's the original tension of it that doesn't change. When God created man and woman, I mean, it's obvious what God, if you look at the man part and the woman part, it's obvious that they were made to go in, the man was made to go inside the female. That's why you can't reproduce if you're man on man or female on female. Someone's got to say it, Pudge.
I'm just you know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
And it's like, so when you're portraying this thing, you're putting the seed in the next generation, the next generation, the next generation, you're making it normal. Okay? You know, when I came up, what was normal was, just, you know, people having sex, men and women having sex. That was normal. That's what I saw on TV outside of marriage. So I, and the music I listen to promoted sex outside of marriage. So that's what I grew up with thinking is okay. Well, everybody does it.
Right.
And that's not right either.
Right.
So when you're constantly being bombarded with things, constantly seeing these things, constantly being bombarded with it, seeing this influence in your coolest cereal or not cereal, but your coolest, your TV shows, it becomes the new norm for people in their mindset, programmed as the new norm in their mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I might think I am gay now. You know, some people treat gay as a cool thing. Like, it's a, not like it's something wrong if you're gay. I'm saying, like, it's a new thing, like a trend almost. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not even, it's to this point now, it's not even a sexuality thing. It's a trend type thing. It's a style almost. You get what I'm saying? It's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
Before when I came up, when you was gay, you was heterosexual. You like, I mean, homosexual. If you was a dude, you like dudes, you were gay. If you're female, you like females, you were gay. Mm-hmm. Now, a simple thing about it was no one forcing down their throats, no one, you know, but now it's like, hey, this is, I'm gay now. I like girls. I'm gonna try that now. I'm gonna try this now. You know, and it's like, it's different because the way the culture does. Culture does change influence. The influence of culture is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And let me go real quick. Hip hop. Everybody knows at this point that hip hop. Well, maybe not because we're a little bit older now. Hip hop originated in the Bronx as an urban expression to what was going on in the freaking hood, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was going on with black, in black hood specifically. I'm not saying it's particularly black music, but that's what was going on. That's who it was made for. That's who related to it at the time it was created. Hip-hop's number one fan base right now is suburban white kids who have never faced a struggle. That's right. The power of influence.
That's what it
now,
is.
Now, nothing about the ghetto was cool. Nothing about selling drugs is cool. Nothing about going to jail is cool. But hip-hop glamorized it and made it cool.
Yep.
So you have people hearing these songs about gunning down their neighbors or wearing these clothes or doing this, doing that. And the influence that made it cool. So now in our era, it was cool to be a drug dealer. It was cool to go to jail. It was accepted. It was normal.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought that was cool, but we rapped like it was cool, you know. But these white kids, there's nothing against white kids listening to rap music at all. But we know for a fact that suburban white kids don't have the struggle of the hood and of the ghetto. And let me tell you how powerful the influence is. Now, when I grew up, only people I knew said the N-word, like, is a nigga, but it's my nigga right there, my nigga right there, was black folks. Because of hip-hop, Puerto Ricans say it, and white people call themselves niggas now. And you told me a story when you was in the car, and they went, buddy. So that's the power of influence. Now, we know damn well white folks ain't niggas,
right?
But they say it, and they believe it. So my point is, when you make stuff like homosexuality cool or murder cool or this cool on TV and it becomes normal, people it's a programming thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I take issue, especially when it's in everything. I want a freaking baby. I want to watch one TV show without that being forced down my throat. I don't have a problem with gay characters on TV shows. Don't hear that in this message.
Right.
I have a problem when you force it down my throat. It's almost like they make it quote unquote a gay show now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, like you saw, I noticed that too with Wynonna. Like the show, like all they show the girls making all the time. Like even on the show, when you have a husband and wife, they don't show them kissing them.
They don't.
We know they're together. Right. They kiss every now and then. Every episode, they making out and it's hot. I'm like,
dude, if that's the case, can I see Wynonna and Doc make out consistently?
Yeah, because they start out with making out. And they done had sex on the show one time.
Right.
That we got to see, and that was it.
That was it.
Yeah,
and then for Wynonna to be the star / slut, you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
And who gets drunk and goes on a daggone sleeping spree.
They don't
she ain't never sleeping with nobody.
Yeah.
But or when she does, it's always a after, they do it like a flashback.
Yeah.
Oh, you did this and you slept with this person. But it's like, it's almost like Hollywood is like, heterosexual sex on TV is boring.
Yeah.
We want to give people what we want to see, which is same sex on TV. So let's do more of creating that.
Exactly.
Or let's do that because I'm like, I ain't never seen somebody who her character is supposed to be a borderline slut, but she ain't never sleeping with nobody.
Exactly. Exactly. And then her sister is like kind of the sidekick, and she's the prude on the show,
right, this prude, the genius, the one that never does anything wrong, but always got her tongue down her girlfriend's throat.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Exactly. It's like, it's not just about why not. It's all the shows that do this, and it's strategic. It's strategic.
Yeah, that just, I mean,
it's blatantly,
I was just last
strategic.
Night, I was like,
strategic.
I didn't even know the dude was gay until this episode.
You know,
like,
he
didn't show any signs or anything like that.
Any signs.
Right, I mean, you know
any
what I'm saying?
Symptoms,
yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I ain't gonna say symptoms, you know what I'm saying?
I mess with you, man.
But I was just like, wow, and then really, did it just come out nowhere?
Yeah.
Like, that's
it's the same thing on a lot of shows like that. Like, even on Arrow, the black dude, you know, the one that came to the team.
That was kind of, you know, that made my stomach turn a couple times, too, you know.
And it's just, like I said, I'm not against gay people being on TV. But like I said, I'm against it when they force it down our throats. When it's an obvious.
Because my thing is, like, I ain't mad at you for what your sexual preference is, but I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that on my TV screen. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't think that I should be able to be ridiculed or beat up, or you know what I'm saying? Because that's not what I want to see. Like, yeah. That's not what I like. So why should I have to damn look at it? And not trying to be funny. Because I can hear somebody, a gay person, saying, well, heterosexuals ain't what I like. Why we should look at that? Well, baby, that's because how God made us.
There you go.
Now, I ain't got no other answer for you but that.
There you go.
You know, that's how he made us. He made us, you know, that's the image he wanted us to be in. So I don't have no other answer for you besides, yeah. You know, you need to talk to him about why you liking the same sex. Now, I guarantee you that finger will get pointed back to you.
Exactly.
Unless, because I don't care what nobody say. I do believe some people were straight, born gay. So unless you were one of those folks, I ain't talking about y'all. You know what I'm saying? And that's my personal opinion. That ain't a crosstalk overview. You know what I'm saying? That's my personal opinion. So I'm not talking about y'all because, you know, those type of people, sadly, they get thrown in that box of you was molested as a child. Somebody raped you. Or something happened to you as a child, and now this is what you like. You know, so I'm not talking about y'all. I'm glad that came last minute because I wanted to clear that up because I don't want nobody thinking that. Because there are, I do feel for those people that were born gay, man. They have to deal with the ridicule of this is who I actually am. I was born this way, and I'm being treated like some drama to something happened to me when I was a child, and I was traumatized to where now this is what I like.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, Pudge. I agree to an extent. I still, of course, I understand that. But what people don't realize, and maybe they still won't realize after the show, I'm gonna share my truth. There's a very, very serious spiritual element to homosexuality. There's a spiritual element involved in that. And that's what I want people to get from this episode. It's not just attacking I'm not attacking any homosexuals. I'm attacking the spiritual influences being forced down our throat about homosexuality. Okay. That's all I'm saying. So you don't take this as an anti-gay episode, you know, because a lot.
How do we get on gay?
Come on, man, stop.
I'm sorry.
Either way, we can talk about how we got on later. Either way, the point I'm trying to make is the spiritual things at play, and that's where it's manifesting the most that I've seen lately. And I think if you look at history, different seasons, there's different things that come out on a spiritual level that you don't recognize. Either way, that's a different topic, but. Point being, we don't have a problem with gay people. We have a problem with it being forced on our throat.
That's all.
Hands down.
That's all.
And so and that's what I want to explain, because when it comes to homosexuality, the moment you disagree with it, you get labeled as homophobe. Homophobe means you're scared. I'm not scared of any homosexuals. Just because I don't agree with your lifestyle don't mean I don't love you, don't care about you, or discriminate against you. I don't discriminate.
Right.
I'm just sharing my views. I don't like rapists. I don't like child molesters.
Right.
You know, I'm not comparing homosexuality to child molesters. I'm just saying I don't care for drug dealers.
Right.
Either way, these are things I disagree with, but I still know people who, unfortunately, I probably do know some rapists and child molesters.
You just don't know that's what they are.
I can say I do know drug dealers.
Right.
You know, so at the end of the day, it is what it is. Y'all heard the stuff. Y'all heard the crosstalk. But at the end of the day, y'all shouldn't be shocked by any of this stuff we say on crosstalk, because this is crosstalk. It's how we do it. Right. So without further ado, we're going to close out the show. Thank you, Pudge, for being here like you're my guest. Thank you, Pudge, for being here. Thank you for your input. So anyway, let's get to the shout-outs, because we do have to wrap it up. Oh, before we do the shout-outs. I'll do the shout-outs first. I'm sorry. Shout-out to Dorothy Brown. Shout-out to Brandy. Shout-out to Alicia. Shout-out to Brenda. Shout-out to November. Shout-out to Ramil. Shout-out to Lovework Studio. Yes. Shout-out to Atlanta GA in the building. Shout-out to Thomaston, Georgia. Shout-out to Freeport, Illinois. Never heard of them until this time. Shout-out to Freeport, Illinois. Shout-out to Dublin, Georgia. Morrow, Georgia. Graysonville, Maryland. Always rocking us. We appreciate you. Shout-out to Brazil in the building. Brazil.
Appreciate you, Brazil.
In the building. Appreciate y'all. Yes. So after the show, we close out the shout. Thank you for everybody tuning in. Thank you for all the lovely shows. Thank you for new listeners. Thank you for everybody. Also, keep on tuning in. We're on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, crosstalk.buzzsprout.com/crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up. crosstalk.buzzsprout.com is our website where you can go to and listen to any episode, any of our previous 65, 64 episodes. Also, after the episode, Headshot Remix, E-Hood featuring Double, Erica Combo, MCNICE, directly following this episode, taking us home. I'm Steph Swig.
I'm Big Pudge.
Crosstalk
Radio. Peace.
Don't load. Red dot, that's the headshot. 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 God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot. Red dot, that's the headshot. 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 God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot.
Red dot. Hey yo, out the vest of my father's mission. Spiritual aim and I ain't missing. Rampaging with the rock, you get it. My campaign is like butane. When you light the flame, you get hot in the kitchen. God just wants you to stop and listen. God just wants you to stop dismissing and stop assisting like you're the opposition. Red dot, that's your target. And I ain't shopping for no bargains. And I ain't stopping at the red light with the roof off just to bounce it. Can't you sleep with the caution? Holy Spirit with the talking. You can run, but you sure can't hide. When it's judgment day, we gon' all stand shot.
Red dot, that's the headshot. 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 God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot. Red dot, that's the headshot. 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 God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot.
Red dot,
yo. Red dot, where my aim is on. Lost soul, that's where my aim is on. Can't find this on Amazon. It's in his word and my word is born. Locked in, clips full, charged up, no Red Bull. That's real deal, no stunts pulled. I'm hungry and my plate's full. Full plate and I'ma eat it all. Full clip and I'ma empty all. Loaded up whenever pulling up. I'm on one and y'all know what's up. 21 guns and they all up. I'm too trill, I never ball up. I stand tall, I never fold up. All men's drawn when I lift them up. God's word is the ammo. Reach one is the angle. School's open, I promise. Braun, Braun with the handle. Yeah, and I ain't never switching. Chris Elijah, slow it down. Spin around for Jehovah Jireh.
Red dot, that's the headshot. 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 God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot. Red dot, that's the headshot. 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 God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot.
Red dot,
yo. Headshot got the lead lock. If I cop back, then I let it go. I was naughty by nature. I was crazy, you feel the flow. I'm a 38 special. One squeeze and God bless you. Won't hold you, won't press you. I don't know about what the rest do. Coming off of this pain. Blindfold in the range. Shooting, getting my aim. Just right from mid-range. Smith and Wesson with the blessing. Got the word like a Mars bird. Held tight on a late night. I can let off a whole verse. When the sun's out, the gun's out in arm reach. If you pull out, better be about what you speak. Life is war, we're covered when we see blood. Headshot bomb popping off with E-Hud.
Red dot, that's the headshot. 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 God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot. Red dot, that's the headshot. 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 God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot.
I'm running, I'm running, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm gunning it, coming right at you. Risk it by the world, by the triumph, it's on with the word, red dot, aim it at you. This is warfare, they never play fair, they never did care, but I don't either. His word bigger, my God is bigger, I pulled the trigger and never missed neither. So cold, this world getting so cold, evil run around getting so bold. Must have forgot at the end, it's a no-go, but I know my God ain't tripping what he said though. See the blood on it, that's the headshot, yes. Put the word on it, that's the kill shot. Never again will the enemy win with the greater, with the living in me, let's go.
That's the headshot. Red dot, that's the headshot. Red dot, that's the headshot. Red dot, that's the headshot. God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot. Red dot, that's the headshot. 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 God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot. God's word, that's the kill shot.
Red dot, that's.